We've been doing this series on when God steps in, and one of the things last week, the topic was when God steps in, fear goes away. There's a power of fear. Fear is replaced with faith. Yeah? That's good. I want to talk about when God steps in, he speaks today. He speaks. Have you ever had a moment when everything changed because God spoke? It's almost like there are moments in our life where we feel sometimes, and we're not necessarily talking about always an audible voice, because sometimes think, has God spoken, you know, an audible voice, but maybe it's just a conviction or a whisper or a nudge in your heart that could shake you or take you in a different direction that you really needed in that moment. And isn't that the goodness of God? Isn't that the goodness of God, is that when we're feeling lost or we're feeling abandoned or restless or we're just feeling not knowing what to do next, he just nudges us. He just, you open the word and something comes out and it just gives you, it might not necessarily give you a clear direction of what you need to do next, but it certainly gives you the comfort and the strength to hold the space for a time before you might actually go to that next thing. Because sometimes we look for answers, don't we? We want answers. It's like we've got a question, God, and we want an answer, and not just an answer that I'm happy with. You know, an answer that I want. Because we have a bunch of things that we've kind of worked out in our minds about how God should speak. We have the God of ourselves, me, and we want him to speak to us in my language and in the way that we want. But he comes and he speaks and he steps in because he loves us. And this is the nature of God, is that he's not going to leave you as an orphan, but he comes to us. It says in John 14, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. We are not abandoned. We are not left to figure out this life on our own through the Holy Spirit. God draws close, not as some sort of distant deity, but as a loving father who leads his sons and his daughters. And we read today, Romans 8. Thank you, Kim. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we're not an orphan. We're not forgotten. But you are a son and a daughter. And your Father wants to speak to us. He wants to interrupt your life. Annoyingly. You know, he won't leave you in a place necessarily where you're going to be lost, because we're not of those who are lost. We're of those who are found. We're found by him and for him. And there's a sense where God wants to speak into your life. And even now, maybe you're going through and you're asking the question, oh, God, I want to hear your voice. Maybe he's silent. And I want to say that God is speaking. But the question is, are we listening? Are we listening to the things that he's trying to speak to us? Because we always have questions. That's a normal thing. We always have, you know, ideas about, Lord, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? Or where should I go? What should I do? That normal things. And we should be asking him, because he's the good shepherd and he wants to lead us into those places, and he will. But I just want to say that, you know, we know that in John 10, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We know his voice and we hear his voice. And those who hear his voice is not necessarily just the spiritual elite. Sometimes people, we can kind of disqualify ourselves from going, oh, only the real spiritual people get to listen to the direction of God or the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's left for the spiritual elite. Can I just say that if you're a believer and you've made a decision to follow Christ, you're a son and a daughter of a loving Father, and he's your good shepherd, and that he wants to speak to you and he is speaking to you, and our job is to try and figure out what that looks like. How does he speak? How does he speak into our life? Because he doesn't want to leave us out in the cold. Francis Chan said this, if you go to the next slide, the Holy Spirit will lead you into a life that you never could have experienced on your own. That's the invitation. That's the invitation, is that if we are left on our own, We will have a life, but we will never get to experience the fullness of the life that God wants to have for you and me. Like if we take on this invitation, if we say, Lord, speak to us, I want you to interrupt my life. Like nagging, not like, you know, interrupt in a negative way, but, you know, interrupt in a positive way. It's like, it's a gift. It's a gift. And we get to step into the experience of the life that we would never have experienced on our own, because he wants to lead us into the fullness of life. We know in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It goes on after that passage that if you seek me, you will find me. We forget that bit. We always want the future. We always want the life. But it's like, if you seek me, you'll find me. And that's the gift. And that he invites us into. So I just want to just draw in a couple of points. If you go to the next slide, the first one is this. You know his voice. You already know his voice. You heard it when you first came to him. Let's go always back to then. The time when you first heard God's voice. You go, I don't really hear God's voice. Well, can I say this? Do you sense his nudging? Do you sense his prompting? You wouldn't have come to Christ. You wouldn't come to Jesus unless he spoke to you. You wouldn't be here today unless he spoke to you. No one dragged you, as far as I'm aware. But there's a sense that, I don't know, if you go back to that moment where you first, you can go, oh, so-and-so invited me to church or so-and-so. But the thing is, there was something internally, there was a nudge that says the Lord, you know, he was drawing you to himself. You know, it's not that you love God, but he first loved you. He reached out to you first, and that was the first nudge that you ever had. And we all remember that time, and we take out, and that should give you confidence. That should be your faith platform to go, you know what, I heard him once, and I will hear him again, because it started by him drawing me to himself, and he will continue to draw him to himself for the rest of your life. It's not like he's going to call you and then go, good luck with that. He keeps calling us. He keeps ushering us in. He keeps tugging us. And he keeps speaking. In John 16, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. And he will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. So the Holy Spirit is, if you feel like, is the voice of God within you, speaking truth and conviction and leading you into his comfort and into his presence. So I just want to say, if you have an element of doubt that you don't hear his voice, let me just say to you today, you do hear his voice. You hear his nudging. You hear his presence. You hear his thoughts. You hear it. Do you agree with me? Three of you? Maybe you haven't heard it for a while, but this is the point of today, is this invitation to go, let's lean in again to the fact that we have a loving Father who doesn't want to leave us and who wants to speak to us and speak into every part of our lives, into our work, into our family, into our identity, into our relationships, all those things. He wants to speak into you, into your creativity, into your gifts, all that sort of stuff. He wants to speak into those things if we allow him. There are moments when we feel like that, oh, I'm on my own. But I want to say, you're not on your own, that God wants to speak. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. If you go to the next slide, this is what the Holy Spirit does. That's his role in your life. The Holy Spirit, the word is the word paraclete, which means a comforter, or I like this, a counselor or advocate, right? What's a counselor do? They sit there, they listen, they prompt, they encourage. Advocate. He stands with you to advocate for your purpose and for your journey. It's God's presence. And he gives us a helper. And I've said this a couple of weeks ago. We've got to get used to having a helper. Because none of us like to be helped. We're very independent. And he's saying, I want you to be more dependent. We're all like, I can do this. I can work it out. I can figure it out. I don't need your help, God. I'm good. And he's like, no, I've given you Holy Spirit as a helper. Allow me to help. And what does that take? Surrender. it takes a sense of, you know, swallowing our pride and go, you know, put my hand up and go, you know what, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you to come in and I need you to interrupt my life. I need you in my life. I need you to show. I need help. Maybe that's a good prayer we need to pray. Jesus, I need help. I need your helper. And the Spirit is not distant, he's near. And he's a gentle voice that guides us and convicts us and empowers us to walk in step with God. I want to use this illustration. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but this is the perfect illustration for me. And I want you to think of it this way if you go to the next slide. The Holy Spirit doesn't work like a travel agent, but works like a travel guide. A travel agent books a trip for you, hands you the brochure and says, good luck, have a great time. Some of us treat Holy Spirit and treat the voice of God like that. Like if we were back in the moment, like we got saved, he handed us the booklet and said, this is how you follow me. We haven't heard from him since. But a travel guide is someone who will walk beside you, you know, through unfamiliar places. They'll show you the hidden gems and the local treasures. I love that. There will only be treasures that you will find if you walk with Holy Spirit, if you allow him to show and speak with you. You know, if you take a wrong turn, you know, he'll gently redirect you, you know, because I don't know if you've ever, I've never been on a holiday with a guide. Has anyone been on a holiday with a guide? Oh, you have. So when you go off track, do they kind of, say,
you can't wander too far.
Well, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the point? It's like the Holy Spirit won't allow us to wander too far. Like he doesn't want us to wander too far. And he brings us back. And he's part of the journey and he travels with you. And so this is the point, is that we have to see him not as something that is distant but is close, who walks with us and goes everywhere we go. And based on that, he will lead us and show us where to go. Let's not treat God like a travel agent who just handed us a Bible or a brochure when we first got saved and said, good luck with the rest of your life. I'm not going to speak to you again. God speaks. Here's a couple of ways he does speak to us. You go to the next slide. We hear through his word, through his written word. We know this. In 2 Timothy it says, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The anchor to any voice of the Lord comes from his word. We understand that. But his word, notice it says there, his word is God-breathed, and we know it's living and active, the word of God, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What does that mean? In the right way to go, or in the right path. And so God leads us on his right path by nudging us and getting us and stopping us from wandering. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have a temptation. I have a propensity to wander. Like a little child who just gets fascinated with that thing over there and just goes and just come back on track. Come over here. The Bible is an anchor and a foundation that is it's the steadiness, it's the steady point, it's the anchor for our soul, if you like. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and he teaches us through the word. And he will guide you in that, and he will speak, and he will judge, and he will breathe on that word and make it come alive. And we've talked about it before. We've read the word of God. It's a living and active word. When you read it, it should come alive to you. You shouldn't just read the Bible. You should allow the Bible to read you and allow it to speak into your heart so that you can go, actually, there's something here for me today. It's really important. So he reads through his word. So we have his word as an anchor, and the Holy Spirit teaches us through our word. And then how does he speak to us? Like, what are ways that he's going to get our attention, if you like, outside of this word? I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, and we're going to read it together if you put it up on the screen. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I am resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, I want you to see this. Here's Paul, someone who needs to be led by God, who sees himself as this person who says, I need a helper. I need help. For I'm resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching, not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. It's important that God speaks through us and in us and a part of us, because what it does, it gives glory to him and not to us. So that your faith might not rest in... we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that is hidden, a treasure, right? That God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You go to the next slide. Now, so there's a what it's comparing here is, I want you to see this, is this sense of there's the way the world speaks and the way God speaks, and he's saying that we are the privileged sons and daughters of God who get to listen to Holy Spirit. There were people who didn't listen to Holy Spirit, and because they did, they crucified our God. But you are the ones who hear and respond because you have the wisdom of heaven. How beautiful is that? He says, however, as is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but God has given it to you because you're his son, his daughter. Right? It's gold, isn't it? It's treasure. That's right. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, once again, comparative, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities in Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit, once again, comparing, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of Christ as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's just awesome. Is that you're not of this world. You're not someone who's lost and abandoned and not found, but you are someone who is found by God. You are his child, and so you have the mind of Christ. You can hear, you sense, he walks with you like a guide, like an advocate, like a counselor who speaks to you through his word, which is prompted by Holy Spirit, so that you can understand what the word's going to say. But beyond that, I love what he talks about here. When I think about this idea, if you go to the next slide, he speaks through what we see, he speaks through what we hear and what we conceive. Because we see this all through the scripture, we through visions and pictures, through the seeing eye, we see through the ear. In 1 Kings, we hear this story of God's voice. Elijah is hiding, and it's a still small voice that comes to him. Or through the mind, we see through Joseph. It's a great story in Matthew 1 and 10 where God interrupts Joseph's life with a vision or with a dream because he doesn't understand what's going on. Mary's got pregnant and he's trying to understand what's going on. And how does God deal with that question? He comes to him in a dream and he wakes up the next day and he goes, I'm good with this. Wow. Only someone who wants to hear hears that. It's a great thing. I was just thinking about this too. Go to the next slide. A few random thoughts today. I find that when I hear God's voice, it's often at the intersection of my own thoughts. So Isaiah says, "For my thoughts my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways." I find that if I'm going along and I'm thinking about something, and I just have this random thought that comes, and I'm curious about what that is. Can I just say, lean into that sometimes. Lean into that. Lean into that intersection. Lean into that space where it's like you're thinking about something. You could be on a certain path about thinking about your life and what you should do, or just about how you're feeling about yourself, your own identity and all that sort of stuff. And then you have a scripture come to mind, or you have a word that someone said to you, or you had something that is going, and you just, sometimes we dismiss those things. And what if God's trying to intersect your thoughts with his thoughts because his ways are not your ways? I want him to interrupt my thoughts. You don't want to get in my head. He's there. It's such a beautiful thing. So there's interruption. He wants to speak to us in so many different ways, through his word, through the spirit, through dreams, through visions, through ideas, intersections. Are you getting the point today that he's not leaving you alone? He's coming after you. He wants to speak to you. Because you're his son and his daughter. And I want to talk to my kids. And he wants to talk to you. So how do we know it's God? I'll finish with a couple of thoughts here. One is consistent with Scripture. It aligns with Scripture. God never contradicts his word. If you're getting a thought or an idea, it's like the best place to go is God's word. Is this consistent with the kind of things that God would say? That would be the question I'm asking. Is it consistent with the kind of things that he would say? You know, when someone comes to you and they tell you, you've got a friend, and someone comes to you and says, someone said this about you, and they talk about your friend and you go, my friend would never say that. That is not something that they would say. I know them. That is not consistent with the kind of things that they would talk about. So when God speaks to us, it's always consistent with the kind of things that he would talk about. And it would align with Scripture. It carries peace and clarity. I think when God comes to us, there is a sense of peace, even in the midst of chaos. Sometimes you lack understanding, but you get peace. You get this sense of, no, this is right. And the other thing I would say, it's confirmed in community. God often and always uses wise counsel and the spiritual family here to confirm what he's leading. When we stay anchored to the word, we understand this idea. The challenge is that when God speaks to you, he will talk to other people about similar stuff for you, and especially in community. You know, when people come to you and say, God said this, and I always say, well, when God tells me, I'll let you know. Because God does confirm it more than once in community. It's not always just this sense of, you know, you got to do this, or this is what I'm saying. So thanks for that. The prophetic is very much like that. The prophetic needs to be weighed up and tested for that reason, which is great, because if you get a prophetic word or a thought and it's encouraged over and over again, that just gives you more courage and more faith. Rather than just hear it once, hear it four times, five times. I'm hearing the same thing over and again. How good's that? And that we just read. So if God's speaking, make sure that you're grounded in God's word, it aligns with it, it's familiar, consistent with what he says, it carries peace and clarity, and it's confirmed. If you're wrestling with something that God's speaking to you about, go and ask someone. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be afraid of sharing what God's spoken to you. God's not playing hide and seek with his kids. He wants to speak to us. And he longs to lead us. The Spirit is a counselor, a helper, and a friend. And the question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? Am I listening? So the next time maybe your thoughts are interrupted with something, I just encourage you to pause and listen to the voice. Listen to the voice. Because he loves his kids. He loves you, he loves me, and he wants to speak into our lives. And it's such a beautiful thing. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you're so generous towards us. Thank you that you want to speak into our lives. Even now, speak to your kids. Remind us of your word. Remind us of prayers that we've prayed. Give us a word or a thought or a vision. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to conceive the great things that you have for us. So we're just going to sit for a moment. And I'm going to be bold this morning and I'm going to say, Lord, is there anything that you want to say to your church today? Is there anything that you want to comfort us with, to strengthen us with, to build us up with? Is there something that you want to interrupt us with right now? And if there is, Lord, I ask you to speak to us. What else do you want to share with us this morning? Does anyone have a burden that they want to share? Yeah.
I'll just share a word that I hope is an encouragement in this space. I think, as Brooke said, we all hear from the Lord, and it's just being confident when we do hear and sharing that with others. One of our prayer spaces is called Seekers, and we meet together to seek the Lord and to hear from him, and he speaks to us every time, and we confirm that through scripture and through, you know, testimony of what he's speaking to each of us. And recently in that space he said to me, prioritise the seeking and the asking. You know, and the word says to us, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And in James it says, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you have not because you ask with wrong motives. So I just feel like he's saying to us as a church in this space to prioritise the seeking and the asking. And we will hear from him when we seek him. You know, he says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So I just hope that's an encouragement for us. If we can just get in that space of getting into his word, getting into those prayer spaces as a community with each other, and just really seek him and really and ask him and then share that with each other as a church. And I feel like in that way he will lead us into this next season, and we'll know what his voice is saying to us as a church.
That's good.
I'm not sure if, Kim, did you mention Jeremiah 29:11?
I did.
Oh, you did. Yeah, well, I think that's what I feel. I'm not sure if that's corporate or for individuals, but that the Lord has plans for you, and they're plans to prosper you and for hope and a future. I'm not going to elaborate on that. That's either for somebody personally who's going through that now, or for us corporately?
Yeah. Yeah, so I encourage you, if you're feeling a sense of hopelessness right now, just listen to that. Listen to that word. Are you feeling a bit lost?
I feel like I just want to illustrate how God can speak to us sometimes. I was reminded of the time when I was at Sydney Airport flying back to the UK. I used to live in the UK. And there was one time when I just cleared immigration, and I had the most internally dramatic God speaking to me, and it's never happened since, but it can happen. Sometimes God is kind enough to speak to us in a way that makes you go, wow. And the message I got was, in 1 year's time, you're going to go back to Australia and be there permanently. And it was a miracle, because I never wanted to go back to Australia. But I had such a peace about that, and I was so confident that when I went back to the UK for that last year, I was telling everyone, I'm going to go back to Australia in a year's time. And I felt such a peace about it, and that was miraculous.
And you're here. You stayed. It's good. I'm not leaving. I'm just.
I've just come off the back of leading on a youth camp the last week, and the theme for the youth camp was limitless, and about God's limitlessness. And the last week, I've just experienced how limitlessly powerful God is, and this lyric has just been on my heart today and the whole week, and that's, who are we to deny what God can do? And so I don't know if that's, yeah, again, like a church thing or for someone individually, but like, who are we to deny what God can do? God is limitlessly powerful, and I've just seen that so much this week, and I hope people do as well.
Can you have another one? No, you can't. There's only one allowed per person per day.
It's an example. I've given a testimony before. I had a severe bike accident, and it was just a huge journey on the way back, and it was fraught with all sorts of recovery problems and all sorts of things. And now, with God speaking, so it was really difficult. Things were starting to get a little bit better, and I'd been through a fair bit. And sometimes the Lord speaks in words that you don't use. And so I remember it as clear as it was yesterday. And I got out of the shower, and the Lord spoke and said, you've weathered the storm. Well, they're not words that I would use. And they just meant so much to me. Here's another one. So the
That's right.
Then I had a very severe bout of PTSD. It was horrid. We're in church. No, we'd gone from church, and Rosie, friends of ours, Rosie, I was talking to her. I think I just rang up to encourage her or something. And she said, actually, I was going to give a verse at church. And she spoke the verse out, and it just floored me, because it was just exactly what I needed. And it was one of those ones that just said, I think it was from the Amplified, that, you know, I will never, never, never leave you. This is not going to happen, blah, blah. And it was, I was on cloud nine. And, you know, it's a verse from the Bible, but it just meant so much.
Yeah. It's cool. one of the things is the encouragement that we can have for each other. So someone will often, just such a beautiful thing, like, I mean, sometimes, you know, to state the obvious, you come to church, you're feeling a bit flat or whatever, spiritually, physically, emotionally, like, and God will give you something and you're like, is this for me or is this for someone else? It's a great question to ask in curiosity. It's like, you know, you wake up one morning and God, you're on your way to church and God gives you a thought or a scripture that's encouraging or builds something up and you go, or sometimes we automatically think it's for me, but maybe ask the next question. So, Lord, is this for me or maybe for someone else? When I get to church, if it's for someone else, can you make it obvious to me? Because I'm a bit slow. So... And allow Holy Spirit to lead you, because that's the body working together, isn't it? That encouragement. That's awesome. Yeah.
I just want to say something. I didn't know Pastor Brooke will be preaching on that. When we were in the worship team was singing that song, Beautiful, Beautiful. And I was singing it and right at the back here, and God was speaking to me. You have to wait for God make things in his beautiful time. And God was ministering to me through that song.
Good on you. Thank you. Okay. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic week.